I'm one of the victims of the hypodermic needle assaults over the summer. Kara Yvette Bernard. It was the first time my name was ever in the newspaper. My name was among 51 other women, 66 total victims, 51 of whom allowed the media to name them. We did it in some spontaneous show of solidarity as if we'd formed some kind of connection because of our victimization. It wasn't long before the physical damage of the assaults began to manifest. The media wouldn't go into detail, but it was easy enough to find online. Mania, hypersexuality, skin deterioration. Not a single doctor could identify what our injections contained. Aside from the needle marks themselves, there weren't any signs that we'd been injected with anything at all. But as time went by, and more of the women began to succumb to the effects, my terror and dread turned into confusion. After 3 months, I was the only one still alive. My doctor suggested I was immune to whatever the injection had contained. I didn't have any reason to doubt his suggestion, but there was still too much uncertainty to give me any relief. And now, almost half a year after the attack, I knew it was right to deny myself that relief. I started hearing voices. I was on the couch eating my dinner. The television was on. At first, when I heard,
"Can you hear this?"
I thought it was the TV. Then the voice said,
"Kara, can you hear this?"
You have to realize, after what happened over the summer, I've been terribly skittish. I panic at the drop of a hat, and I've been on disability since the attack. When I heard someone say my name last night, and it was so loud and clear that it was like someone else was in the room, I nearly passed out, but I knew no one was around. The place was empty aside from me, just like how it's been for the last 4 months.
"Kara, please reply if you can hear this."
I whispered that I could. I heard talking in the background. I couldn't make out what they were saying. The next part, though, came through without any ambiguity.
"Drown yourself."
I didn't move. I knew it had to be the effect of the injection.
"Fill the bathtub and drown yourself."
And that's when I started to cry. The voice kept repeating the command. The tone was calm and seductive, and then as I bawled and begged whatever it was to leave me alone, my body started to move on its own. I had no control over anything, not even my voice or my eyelids. My body stood, walked over to the bathroom, and began to fill the tub with water. Internally, I was shrieking and sobbing and trying to plead with whoever was doing this to me to stop. All it did was repeat what it had been saying.
"Fill the bathtub and drown yourself."
When the tub was full, my body stepped into the warm water. Even though I tried to fight as hard as I could, I couldn't break away. I tried not to be forced to do what they were telling me to do. I sank to my knees. I sat cross-legged, then dropped face down into the tub. My body didn't allow me to take a breath before I plunged in. While I panicked inside a body whose anatomy had been stolen, I readied myself for the moment my lungs would give out and I'd inhale, filling their entire capacity with bathwater. I imagined sucking in the water and reflexively coughed it out, only to refill my lungs again and again as I gasped, until I was just a corpse to be found by the landlord. The gasp never came. My panicked heartbeat thumped in my ears while I stared at the plastic bottom of the tub. There was no pressure in my chest. The only pain I felt was the cramping in my legs from being tucked underneath me.
"What does it feel like?"
I could talk again, but I still couldn't move. "Help me," I gurgled as bubbles floated by my wide eyes on their way to the surface. There was still no pain in my chest or any compulsion to inhale. It had to have been 2 minutes since I went under.
"What does it feel like?"
The question repeated over and over in my head, and eventually I answered, "Like I can breathe underwater." The reply was instantaneous.
"Are you actively breathing? Are you inhaling and exhaling water?"
I considered the question and I changed my answer. "Feels like I don't have to breathe anymore." There was a silence inside my head. It was broken by the sounds of my heart beating and my stomach processing my dinner.
"You have 8 days. We will come and see you at the end of it. Please drink the bath water periodically to stay hydrated and
adjust to the water temperature to avoid hypothermia. I noticed I could move my left hand and arm and shoulder again. I reached out of the water and tried to pull my head up by my hair. It was as if I weighed 1,000 pounds. When I tried to reach for the plug to empty the tub, my arm flopped lifelessly in the water. After a minute, I regained movement. I fumbled for the faucet and turned the water on and off. For 8 days, I remained underwater. My legs had gone numb. On the 4th or 5th day, I tried to run the water and overflow the bathtub with the hope a neighbor would notice and alert the landlord. I lost control of my hand for a while after that. The water grew dirty as the days went on, and I stopped drinking it. I lost control of my mouth and throat and was forced to consume a certain amount every day. On day 8, my chest began to burn. As soon as the feeling registered, I had control over my entire body again. I carefully extracted my stiff body from the tub. I remained on my back staring at the bathroom ceiling for a while. The smell of the room prompted me to start moving, and I showered the filth off myself while looking down at my severely water-damaged body. I dried myself carefully, noticing skin coming off as I did. I thought back to the online reports of the other injected women, how their skin slowed off their bodies. Sticky clumps. But mine wasn't like that. There was no blood. Only raw, pink skin. It took me a while to move into the kitchen where I grabbed a box of cereal, started shoveling handful after handful into my mouth. The skin on my lips split wide open with the first handful. Again, no blood.
Kara, stop eating.
I dropped the box of cereal. The voice was in my head again.
You have 3 hours.
And now, all I can do is wait. Wait and type. My skin is starting to hurt. I'm worried that I've gotten an infection from being in the dirty water for so long. I don't know what's going to happen in 3 hours. Part of me wants to call the police and run away. There's another part, though, that's overriding my desire for help. It's grim curiosity. It's the curiosity of someone who's given up hope. Someone who's lost control. I want to see why these people want to subject me to all of this. While I was face down in the tub, I sometimes heard talking in the background. The voices weren't directly at me. It was almost as if someone had left a microphone on by accident. Words would come through every so often. Respiration, bonding, slow. There was one time, I think, on the 6th day, I was able to hear part of a sentence. I picked it apart in my head over and over, trying to figure out not only what it meant in general, but what it meant for me. I guess I'll find out pretty soon. There's a nervous excitement in me that I feel is somehow wrong, somehow suicidal, but still, like I said, the curiosity is overwhelming. My desire for self-preservation. A little less than 2 hours to go. The perversity of my excitement is unsettling. This isn't me, but I don't care. All I care is that in a couple of hours, I'll learn what they meant by successful underwater, but it will be entirely different in the vacuum of space. Apdyne Incident Report, June 4th, 2015. KYB Evidence and Forensics. Sample 24 of 156. Handwritten letter.
Dear World, my name is Kara Yvette Bernard, and I went on a long trip. Well, it didn't take very long, but I went a pretty good distance, at least that's what they tell me. But now I'm back, and I feel great. I even got pregnant right before I left. Imagine that. I don't even remember having a boyfriend. I bet he was nice. Speaking of nice, the doctors were so kind to me. When they sent me back home, I got a whole bunch of medicine that helped me feel good. In fact, it's the reason I'm writing this letter in the first place. I just want the world to know how good I feel. I wish so badly that they all knew this feeling. The doctors told me that I'd be having my baby in 2 weeks. 2 weeks! That's just incredible. I always thought that it was 9 months, but they said mine was special. I've never felt so happy in my life. I feel like a different person. Like, I barely recognize the person that I was before I went on my trip, and I met everyone and got to be better. Now that I'm back home, I'm remembering a little bit from how things were before it all happened. Like, when I went to the bathroom to pee, I saw the bathtub that I got into play for 8 days while they got me ready to travel, and that was the first time I got to hear Dr. Yao's voice. He's the sweetest man. Especially in person. He's just adorable, almost as tiny as me, but so super smart. I wanted to tell him that I had a crush on him from the moment that we met, but I got too shy. Maybe if he happens to read this letter someday, he'll learn that way, and it'll be like a happy accident. I wish I could remember more from my trip. I remember traveling was cold and dark, but it didn't last too long. It was fun to float. It was like I was in the ocean or something, but I didn't need to breathe, just like I was in the bathtub. The voices I met when I got there were a little scary at first. I didn't understand what they told me, something about tunnels or tunneling. A lot about something that sounded like T. Leo G. Science is weird. Not you, Dr. Yao, though. You're the best. Dr. Yao was the one who said that I'd be having a baby boy. I think I was scared or crying because he told me that before I went on my trip. Then he gave me medicine, and I felt so much better. And I started thinking about names, and I asked Dr. Yao what his first name was, and he said Ethan. And that settled it. My baby's name is Ethan. Even while I'm using the medication that makes me feel amazing, I was worried about the little one. I felt him kicking a lot, and I worried he was sad or uncomfortable. It just felt wrong knowing that I was so happy, and he might be sad. It was kind of unfair, right? I thought about Ethan being sad, and that made me think about Dr. Ethan Yao being sad, and that was just too much. Even if I felt all the goodness in the world, it was still far too little pleasure. If I was the only one lucky enough to feel it. I decided to take Ethan out and share my joy. The medicine they gave me is great because I thought that it would hurt a lot, but it only kind of felt bad for a little while. He's okay, though. I got to see Ethan early. I was right. He was sad. He cried and cried. I remember some of the things from back in my old life that used to make boys happy, so I did that for a little while, and he stopped crying. He wouldn't even move. I knew I was on the right track, so I took some more of my own medicine, crushed them up and gave it to little Ethan. We sat together for a while. I felt the nice warm breeze coming in from outside. I realized Ethan's so small he could hardly feel it. I opened him up so he could feel the warm air. After I took the last dose of the medicine, it made me feel even better. So I took more. And Ethan and I spent the afternoon taking our medicine and enjoying the day. And then I had the idea that two happy Ethans would be twice as good as having one. So I made Ethan into two. Then four. And then eight. I kept going for a while, and now I have more happy, quiet Ethans than I could ever dream about. They started to get a little cold, so I carefully put them back in their little belly house. And then I started writing this letter for the world to see. Well, the world and Dr. Yao. I hope you all have a really great day, and Ethans, the Ethans and I say hello and be happy. There's so much to be happy about. Love. Kara and Ethan's.